Instacart makes grocery shopping easier. And just because you're not doing the shopping yourself doesn't mean you don't care how it's done. With Instacart's shopper notes, you can get particular about what you want right in the app. Like rotisserie chicken that's extra crispy, cheddar that's sharp as your skates, and lettuce you'd actually pick yourself. Just leave a note for your shopper so they can get it right for you without having to ask. That way, you can get groceries just how you like. Download the Instacart app and shop today.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We've been hyping it up all day long. We are joined in studio by the Hardys, Jeff and Matt. They are here to promote Slammiversary, which will be taking place later this month at Aganis Arena on Sunday, June 28th. Guys, thanks for joining us here on WEEI. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having us. We've been making the rounds today. I love this area. I love Boston, man.
What keeps you guys motivated? You guys have been doing this a long time. You've still been putting your bodies on the line, flying all over the world for these matches. What keeps you guys going?
We're 34 years deep, no doubt about it. And a few years ago, he discovered a cold plunge or an ice bath. And I think that is something that is really gave us great longevity. It's helped us out both physically a lot. But I think we're very motivated by the fact that we've been doing this on TV now for almost 30 years. And a lot of people out there started calling us the greatest of all time. And we want to see like how much of a GOAT tag team can we be? Mm-hmm. And that's part of our motivation. TNA is also a company that's had a lot of ups and downs over the years. And we're really excited to be with them. They got a deal on AMC. And it's a major, major platform for them. And we're there helping them out and trying to make sure they grow and they're as productive as they get in prevalent as they can be in 2026.
So yeah, I still love coming up with like a new idea for a move or something, mm-hmm. and then kind of work it out and see if it's possible and going out there and executing it in front of a live audience. Man, I love that. The craft of pro wrestling I still love with so much passion.
It's interesting. Like we were doing our top five tag teams today. I went outside of wrestling a little bit more with mine. You guys were the highest wrestling tag team. Keith, you had all
number one.
You had all wrestling tag teams. Yeah. You had them number one. But it's interesting. You feel like you still need to kind of to prove it on that level.
I just think we're trying to cement it, and we're trying to pull away from whoever the other greatest could be. And what is so cool, I just noticed someone just told us yesterday in Men's Journal, they had linked to a poll that was on, I think, Ranker, a system, and they had voted on it. And a lot of times the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, gets the call for the greatest of all time. And understandably so. They were one of our favorites, no doubt about it. They were two big, massive men, and they were the first tag team attraction that could be a main event. But we have passed them over the course of the last 8 months or so on that thing. And Men's Journal just posted the Hardy Boys have taken over the number one spot of all tag teams in all of wrestling, which is pretty amazing. So, you know, a lot of fans have said it to us, and now we're just trying to take it as far as we can.
Is there a dream match that's out there either that could happen now or one that couldn't happen, right? Like a generation before you that couldn't happen. Is there one that either of you guys thought of that would be an all-time match?
Mine is the Street Profits, man.
Oh, nice.
I would love to mix it up with them, man.
I would love to have a match with the Motor City Machine Guns. They had a little run in WWE, and I'm glad they deserved it. They were a great tag team that really built their name in TNA, mm-hmm. had a great run in Ring of Honor, and they're also one of the great tag teams, but we've never faced each other. So I would love to have a match with those guys. And then another match I would like to have, and hopefully it can work before it's all said and done, is one last one with Edge and Christian, which we made each other in 1999 at No Mercy 99 in the tag team ladder match. I'd like to have one more of those guys. Both those guys thought their careers were over because of very serious injuries they both suffered. They were both able to come back and hoping to dance with them one more time.
Any that you're like, phew, I don't want to do that one anymore.
Maybe it was the Dudleys. So,
yeah.
You know, we sent them home. And that was here outside of Boston and Lowell last year at Bound for Glory. And we had our final match with them. And we knew it was going to be Devon's last match. He'd had some health issues. Mm-hmm. And they were career rivals for us. You know, obviously we were involved in all the TLC stuff and whatnot, but like we had that last match and we had no idea they were going to take their boots off and then give them to us as trophies, which was very, very cool.
How often are you guys asked about those TLC matches? I would assume every day of your lives, they'll still come up.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. It's a regular thing. Somebody, a day doesn't go past wherever we're out in public. Someone go, oh my God, that TLC 2 match. How did you and Bubba live falling through those four tables? Yeah. How did your brother live? He got speared off 20 foot, you know, hanging up there where the title was. You know, it's wild. You know, those are memories people hold very fondly and dearly.
Yeah, because how do you guys deal with that? Because it feels like a rock band that somebody's favorite song might have been from like their second album. And you've done so many other albums. Like you guys have had so many other matches, had so many other great moments in wrestling. And to go back to that, is that something that you're happy to talk about and happy to relive, you know, 99, 2000, 2001? Or are you like, guys, it's 2026, you know, we're wrestling now?
I still love that those matches are revered, you know, and I love that people have so much reverence for them. So I never mind talking about them. You know, going back to 1999, the first ever tag team ladder match, the tag team tables match, and all the TLC stuff. And I love that we had that match where the Dudleys retired, and people will talk about that every day. Every time we do interviews, people were asked about that match. It was a big, big deal. And we just had a match called the Wicked Garden match last week against the Righteous, and it was a barbed wire match. And we've never really done that. All four guys were bloody as hell. It was wild. It was kind of a first for us. And considering we've been doing this 34 years, that it's weird to have a first.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's crazy. So is that something you're going to do again?
Probably.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, but because
so it couldn't have been that bad. I mean, if you're going to do it again, it couldn't have been that bad.
It just got such a great reaction because we offered to step into their world. We've had the six-month rivalry with these guys, and their tag team got a lot of upside, very promising, very talented, great character work in what they do. And we stepped into their universe, right? Mm-hmm. So we went into their match. We had no idea what we were doing. We go in there. It ends up being barbed wire. There's garden tools. There was poisonous flowers. They poisoned my brother with Lily of the Valley. He was in the hospital for 4 days.
Lily of the Valley?
Yeah, Lily of the Valley. Have
What's
you ever
that?
Read that flower?
No.
It is a toxic flower that can poison you. And if you have the berries or any of the flower, you will get, you know, extremely sick.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, so being a part of that first ever Wicked Garden match, naturally watching that bat back and going, oh, my God, this was chaotic. But it still, it makes me go, okay, what about what's next time going to look like? Mm-hmm. You know, so I still get so much joy out of dreaming up something and then bringing it to life in a professional wrestling ring in front of a live audience, and that's just the stuff I live for.
You can see Brother Nero's. He's still got a battle scar there at the top of his head.
Good grief.
That happened in that barbed wire match.
You guys are so synonymous with the ladder match, obviously, you know, ladders and chairs and everything else. And now apparently the Wicked Garden. Yeah, right. Now that as well. Now getting poisoned. Do you remember the first ladder match you saw? Was it Razor and Shawn Michaels? Was it Bret Hart?
Yes.
Is that one?
Yes.
And at that moment, were you like, that's something we could do? Or did it take time after that to realize that, like, hey, we could get involved in this?
It seems like there was one, like a Bret Hart ladder match that was just at a house show or something.
I believe that's how the story goes. Bret Hart and Shawn, I think, had the first ever one, but not everybody saw it. And then at WrestleMania 10, it was Razor, and that match is insane. Yeah.
We saw the Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, and Shawn Michaels match, and we were heavily inspired. And we said, man, we can do this, because we were starting to wrestle in our backyard, and we had dreams of being a wrestler, and we were inspired and motivated by pro wrestling. We said we could take this to another level. And we ended up doing that on independent shows all the time, where he has an alternative character called Willow, which he dons a mask. And it was very much based off like Jushin Liger and Psychosis and a lot of the luchadors. But myself, I would wrestle as Matt Hardy, Surge, and he would be Willow, and we would have these ladder matches. And our dad would ask, like, why do you guys keep buying all these ladders and you just break them? Like, we would take them all over the country and do these ladder matches.
Back to the ladder store.
Right, exactly. Back to Lowe's.
Yeah.
I better go rake up some more pine straw to make money to buy a ladder.
VIPs,
Have to mow some more grass. And then once we got to WWE and we started getting used and we were in a good spot and we pitched that to have that match with Edge and Christian, we knew we could make some magic with those guys. And all our hard work and all those ladders we work on the independent scene actually paid off.
How gradual is that, though? You go right to like 6 foot ladder? How's that work, the gradation up to what you guys eventually do?
That was it just like kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It's like they're like, whoa, we think you can do a 14 footer this time. Oh my god. And naturally they always say 20 foot because it feels like 20 foot when you're up there, but it just got bigger and bigger. I remember I was a landscaper before I made it in pro wrestling, so I saved up and bought like this $250 ladder, and we destroyed it at like an armory or something. My dad just did not understand what we were doing. He was like,
true story.
I was so disappointed. Yeah. But like once we kind of, especially after that match with Edge and Christian, and our dad watching that, he finally understood, you know, our madness leading up to that moment.
Because I mean, you guys had such good chemistry in the ring with guys like Edge and Christian and with the Dudleys. Yes. And then I'm sure the other matches, people now have seen those matches and they're trying to get involved against you guys now. How does that work? Because I'm sure they're like, oh, well, you guys did it this way. And now, like, how do we fit in?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, we have inspired a whole generation of tag teams. And it's crazy because we get to wrestle a lot of those guys now. Mm. You know, the Young Bucks were extremely successful at AEW, helped start the company. You know, that we were very inspirational in them. Private Party, a team I got to work with, we were their guys coming up. I mean, we wrestle with people all the time that were inspired by us. And it's very cool that we've transcended a couple of generations and we're still doing it at the highest level possible.
Jeff and Matt Hardy here on Jones and Keefe. WEEI Slammiversary, the summer tradition from TNA Wrestling, is going to take place Sunday, June 28th at Aganis Arena. You guys mind sticking around for a couple more minutes? Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. The Hardys, Jeff and Matt, sticking around. Slammiversary takes place at Aganis Arena on June 28th, so end of the month. We should have some giveaways for that all next week here on WEEI with Jones and Keefe. We were just talking to you guys in the break. So you have, as you said, a busy schedule, a lot of media you're doing, but you get to, unfortunately, some would say, but I'm sure it's a treat for you, get to go into Fenway tonight to the Red Sox game?
Yeah, man. We were in Fenway last year, and they took great care of us, and I always enjoy it. Fenway's such an iconic stadium, no doubt about it, and arena. So we're going to go there. We're going to hang out with the Boston Red Sox, and I think we're getting a tour of the stadium, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, no, that's cool.
And a couple other things, so we're going to be doing a lot of
if you can find some offense while you're on tour. Yeah. So, and you've thrown out the first pitch there before?
We have. We threw out the first pitch last summer. We both threw strikes, too.
Well, that's so
was nice. Yeah.
You guys are used to, you know, being in the spotlight and having, like, a lot of eyeballs up, but is that nerve-wracking in any way to go out there and do that? Because some of the videos of these first pitches go very poorly.
There's been some wonky.
Yeah, it was very wonky. I forget who the celebrity was, but it was super wonky. I mean, it just went straight to the ground. I was like, there's no way that can be real. Yeah, we threw at the same time, and it was pretty sweet. Man.
And it's interesting because you never know. Like, we're wrestlers. We obviously beat our body up, and we're older, right? I'm over halfway to 100. I'm just trying to stay out of the box. And you know, you just want to give yourself a good representation out there. And we both played baseball growing up, so we both did all right. We respectable pitches.
Very good. I wanted to ask you about ring attire. So, like, growing up, we're similar ages. I'm slightly younger. Everybody was wearing tights. Everybody was wearing, like, you know, Speedos to the ring, like things like that. Then you guys come around and you're wearing baggy pants. You're wearing, like, either tank tops or t-shirts or whatever else. What inspired that? And was there any pushback initially into, like, well, wrestlers don't usually wear that stuff?
It was real interesting. Once Vince McMahon decided he really wanted to do something with us, we'd had a series of great matches with Edge and Christian and a bunch of other tag teams, and he said, I want to do something with these guys, and I want to make them champions and push them, and let's see if we can make some money with them. And he put Michael Hayes with us. And Michael, they said, we need you to reinvent yourself, do something new, do something fresh, whatever else. And do you remember what Michael said in the beginning? He said, hey, he said, I think we could maybe be like the new Fabulous Freebirds. Because back in the day, when they were in Texas and they were kind of running the territory, right, they wore tight jeans and cowboy boots and flannel shirts and whatnot. He said, I think maybe we'll get some tight jeans, some cowboy boots and some flannel shirts, maybe some big belt buckles. You know, we'll look kind of like Freebirds version 2. I said, Jeff said, oh, why don't we make it a little more 1999? And then we went shopping and we ended up in a Gadzooks, Jeff.
In a Gadzooks, over there in Hot Topic. And there was another, like, Spencer's maybe, those stores. But, yeah, we found the kickwear pants and the T. Riley shirts. And it was so awkward trying that on and going, oh, am I going to wrestle in this? It was super awkward, but, I'll never forget.
So you never even tried it at that point. This was just like your pitch and your idea.
Yeah, we had to make ourselves over, and I remember Vince Russo specifically saying hair in the face and just, you know, stone cold expressions.
And brooding.
So. Yeah. Brooding, yeah. And so, but seeing Michael Hayes come out of that dressing room, man, with those kickwear pants on and pulled up way, his shirt tucked in, pants way high. Oh my God, that was so great.
Michael Hayes was a little younger than us at the time. I want to say it was 46, 47. And I remember we put on this outfit and we felt pretty good. It was kind of cool. It was kind of trendy. Kids were wearing it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, sure.
And we said, we'll give this a shot. And, you know, maybe it'll make a difference, whatever. And I'll never forget, after we tried it on, Michael said, you know what? I feel it. I like it. And he said, y'all got my size. And he went and he got the outfit. He committed and came out. And like Jeff said, he had his pants pulled up real high. You know, it was great though, man. He was a team player.
He had a cane too, didn't he, Rocky?
He definitely had a cane.
Yeah. Yes.
He did have a cane.
It may not be my story to tell, Keith, but you guys inspired Rich
Keefe. You want to throw me under the bus for this one?
In a video game, yeah.
Well, yeah, WrestleMania 2000 N64 is one of the greatest games of all time.
My
good friend of mine, we created players and we were wrestlers. We were the Party Boys. So we basically emulated you guys. We were the same, dressed the same, everything else, but we were slightly different. The Party Boys. It was very good.
Yeah.
High flying party boys tag team. Yeah, it was very good.
That's great.
What's the fan interaction been like for you guys this whole run that you've been on? Because you go to all these different cities. I can only imagine people running up to you in the airport. We were talking about a paparazzi story earlier in the day, but just fans running up to you, asking for autographs, asking for pictures. What is that like?
It's crazy, but we have kind of gotten used to it. I mean, we have been on TV for so long, and we're very blessed to have been on TV for almost 30 years. I mean, we're recognized everywhere, you know, and we're pretty familiar face, and we still look similar to how we did when we were
100%.
Younger, which is pretty neat. And it's cool, man. I mean, we're grateful for those people who have supported us, especially long time. We call them diehardies. Mm-hmm. You know, that's our most loyal fans.
Good name.
And we do these amazing post show meet and greets at TNA shows. Back at Bound for Glory, when we were here in 2025 out in Lowell, we signed for 6 hours. The show ended at about 10:15, and we started signing about 10:30, and we signed until 4:30 in the morning,
man.
Which was wild. One of the longest lines ever, but I mean, we appreciate those people. You know, considering we've been around, you know, over 3 decades in this, it's cool that people still want to hang around.
What's the strangest thing they've ever had you sign?
One of the strangest things we've just signed recently.
Yeah.
Was there was a lady that came in to one of those post-show meet and greets.
Yeah.
And she was up there and said, hey, I've got a very strange request, but if you guys don't mind, and she took her pants and pulled it down, she just had a thong on. She said,
the butt cheeks.
I want you guys to sign my butt.
Yep,
she
sure.
said on both sides, she said, I'm going to get it tattooed.
You each got a cheek, and then she got them tattooed?
Yes. Even with our guys, like, are you sure we can?
Did you sign really big?
It was very different.
Yeah.
Going back in the past, one of the strangest gifts ever received before, when we were doing that and we were brooding, and after we left Michael Hayes, we were with Gangrel, who was a legit vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
We were kind of playing vampires as well, to a degree, brooding. And there was a girl who I'd met several times just around in different areas in the New York area, and she was very goth, and she actually sent vials of blood to our P.O. box.
Ah.
And she said, oh, Matt, I've sent you vials of my blood, and what I would like you to do is take your blood and inject it into these empty vials I have and send back to me, and you take my blood and put it in my bloodstream.
Blood swap.
Just so we can always be connected. That way we'll be connected, yeah. And we can sense one another. You know,
you type O?
I mean, I was going to say you've been watching too much True Blood, but True Blood wasn't even around.
Right?
You know what I mean?
Ahead of the curve on that.
So right. It's good. I can. She's in Peoria, Illinois right now.
With a little bit of your blood in her.
Yeah. This is how we know we haven't made it yet, Keith. No one's asked us to sign butt cheeks.
Or sent us blood.
Blood swap. No one's even sent us blood. That's how we know we haven't quite made it yet. You mentioned you guys like being in Boston.
Yeah.
How is that fan experience compared to other cities?
I mean, it's good. Boston is it's got such a great history as far as pro wrestling goes in general. And we've had a lot of great moments here. We actually wrestled. It was Team Extreme versus Stone Cold, Triple H, and Stephanie here. And we actually beat those guys, which was wild. They were trying to make Stone Cold into a bad guy, which was an uphill challenge. So they called the Hardy Boys in. You know, but it's great, man. These people have been so lovely to us. And we're so excited to be here on June 28th for Slammiversary. Because once again, we're talking about all these ladders we bought, all these ladders we broke. It's a ladder match again. And we are finally getting a rematch against the titles. The system beat us for, but they only beat us because the Righteous betrayed us, because they were friends with us for a while. They turned on us and betrayed us. We dropped the titles to those guys, and now it's time to win them back and get our revenge on the Righteous. And before it's all said and done, we're going to get those guys to the Hardy compound and have a cinematic match, and we're going to make them pay for everything they put us through in the Wicked Garden.
I like it. Do you guys have a moment in time when it was like the biggest pop? Like, do you remember when you got the biggest ovation from, it could be any year, it could be any company? I know a few years ago when you guys made your returns at Mania, that was a huge stadium. That was a lot of people that were loud. Is there one or two that stands out to you?
Yeah, that's got to be the loudest. I didn't realize how powerful it was until I got watching the videos back of the reactions, man. It was nuts, because those stadiums are so big, it's hard to hear when you're out there. So, and I went out to the edge of the ramp juking, and I almost fell off, and it was like 20 feet down.
Oh, dang.
We had to go up a bunch of stairs before we went out, but I got to go with that one. That pop was insane.
Yeah.
It was so exhilarating. It was just, it's crazy. I get goosebumps thinking about it, but because it was like a legitimate surprise. There were like less than 12 people in WWE that knew we were returning officially, that we'd been signed for 5 weeks at that time. We went to Ring of Honor as a red herring, and we were the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions. And the night before, we had a 30-minute ladder match against the Young Bucks and actually dropped the titles back to them, and then came to WrestleMania and won the WWE titles, which was very, very cool. That was a huge moment. Another moment that stands out to me really, really strong as being one of the loudest and wildest, most enthusiastic crowd of all time was when myself and Jeff were wrestling DX in Chicago. And it was Road Dogg and X-Pac that we were teaming against. And I'll never forget, I was as close as I am to you or Jeff. And it was Road Dogg. And I remember, like, the crowd was so lively and loud. He, like, said something to me, like, communicating and what to do. And I couldn't hear what he
couldn't
was saying.
Couldn't hear it.
You're like,
uh-oh.
Dang.
I was just like, I can't hear you. He's like.
Yeah.
And
punch you in the face? Okay.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was literally so loud. We were 3 feet away from one another, and we could not hear each other.
That's great.
Just the sound from just a shoulder tackle is like, oh my God, this is insane.
They like that. When they see what's coming.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, crazy. Well, they are going to be at Aganis on Sunday, June 28th, Slammiversary, the Hardys, Jeff and Matt. We appreciate it, guys. We know you're very busy, so we appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. Enjoy the Red Sox game here tonight, and thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you, my man.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having
us. Thank you. Okay, we're going to be giving these away all next week, so stay tuned here to Jones and Keith.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.